In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, each year on this Feast of the Holy Trinity, the Church adds an extra prayer to the office of the priest that he has to recite in the hour of prime. She asks the priest to recite the Athanasian Creed. You know that the Creed is a formula of belief. The creeds are prayers we say in order to profess the main elements of the belief, our belief in the Catholic faith. And the first such creed that was made was the Apostles' Creed. This is the creed that we recite at the beginning of the Rosary. And then at the Mass every Sunday, we together recite the Nicene Creed, which was made for the Council of Nicaea. It was sort of the Apostles' Creed with certain things added. So the Athanasian Creed is too long to recite on a regular basis, but the reason that the Church has the priests say the Athanasian Creed on this Sunday is because it's such a very explicit profession of our faith in the Most Blessed Trinity. And I just want to bring up this creed today because it represents the authentic Catholic spirit with regards to the dogmas of the faith. Obviously, we think of the Trinity as the highest mystery. It's the only mystery of our faith that is about God Himself, the interior life of God Himself. And it's so important that we guard ourselves in this modern day from slipping into a certain religious indifferentism. Religious indifferentism is an idea that's very pervasive today. It's the idea that, in fact, all religions are more or less equal. They're all more or less the same. It's the idea that when it comes to engineering, when it comes to jobs or construction, whatever, it's very important what you believe and how you execute those beliefs. But somehow when it comes to religion, it's not really important what you believe. That religions are just kind of like choosing toothpaste. You know, there's a bunch of different brands and you choose whatever one you feel like choosing. It's not going to make a big deal what brand of toothpaste you choose. And so this Athanasian Creed has a spirit that is directly contrary to that. Let me just read to you the opening words of this creed. Whoever wills to be in a state of salvation, before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith, which except everyone shall have kept whole and undefiled, without doubt he will perish eternally. Now the Catholic faith is that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. Now these words, they represent our authentic Catholic faith. They represent what we believe. That unless you keep the Catholic faith whole and undefiled to the end of your life, you will not be saved. You will be damned. And yet this is so jarring for modern ears. Modern ears who do not want to hear this. People say things like, how could this possibly be the case? How could God damn me to hell for not believing in something? Didn't he give me free will? Didn't he give me the power to choose? How is it that God is worried about what I think? Why can't he just let me think what I want and still let me go to heaven? Why would he care? Can I be damned to hell for one false belief? Can that really happen? Well, the answer is certainly yes. And the reason, one of the reasons is that it is the truth that gets you to heaven. You cannot get to heaven unless you have a proper idea of God. And when God tells you who he is, he is doing that so that you can attain him, that you can get to him. That if you have the wrong idea of God, who God is, then you're not going to be connecting with God. You're going to be going the wrong direction. You're going to be worshiping the wrong God. And so it really, really is important when we worship God that we listen to him when he tells us who he is, and that we adore the real God. Otherwise, we're simply not going towards God. We're going somewhere else. We're worshiping something that's false. We're not worshiping something that's real, the real God. So it's just, at the end of the day, it's a really dumb idea to think that all roads lead to God. We never think that when we're getting in our car and going to a destination. We never think that no matter what direction I go, I'm going to get to my destination. No, we're very careful about taking a right turn or taking a left turn at a given spot and renewing our idea about our destination at each step so that we make sure we get there. And it's the same with going to heaven. We have to know where we're going. And God tells us where we're going. He says, I am who I am. I'm three persons in one God. And when we listen to that, we have to hold on to that. And we have to believe it, and we have to worship that God. And so the Muslims who reject the Trinity and worship Allah are not worshiping a real God. And the Jews who reject the Trinity, they are not worshiping the true God. God is three persons, not one person. Second thing is that obviously heresy is a sin against God. That when God tells us who he is, and I say to God, effectively, I don't want to believe that, then I'm implicitly calling God a liar. I'm telling God that he doesn't know who he is. Like, you told me who you are, but I'm not wanting to believe that. I'm wanting to believe that you're something else. So what am I saying? Am I saying that God's deceiving me about who he is? And what sort of offense is this? This is a grave offense. This is because God cannot deceive nor be deceived. So for me to willfully reject something that God tells me about himself is very serious. We have to remember that heaven is God. Getting to heaven is the same as getting to God. And so we must not reject God. There's this idea in the modern world that we'll kind of owed heaven. No matter what happens, we have to get heaven. It's just because, yeah, God owes it to us. But that's not the case. We're not owed heaven, and we have to submit to what God has told us about himself. This is what's going on in the gospel today. Our Lord says to the apostles, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then it's added at the end of the Gospel of Mark, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be condemned. This is what we've always believed as Catholics. This is why the martyrs throughout the ages did not hesitate to lay down their life when it was a choice that was made to them between professing their faith or rejecting their faith. They realized that the choice they were making was between physical life and eternal life. That if they rejected the faith and saved their physical life, that they were going to lose eternal life. And so they laid down their life. This is why Catholic nations throughout history cracked down on heresy. They did not allow heresy to be professed publicly or heresy to be sort of worshipped publicly or false religions to have their public practice of their religion because they didn't want to endanger their citizens with false teachings, knowing that these false teachings would lead their citizens to go to hell. There's the famous story of St. Peter of Verona. You know, he was an inquisitor. He was one of these who was meant to judge cases of heresy and decide, are these people breaking the law? Are these people going around against the law and preaching heresy, trying to lead people to heresy? He was killed as a result. I mean, the heretics were very upset that he was doing this. And so they were able to send a group of assassins who killed him, and they took an axe to his head. And when he was getting ready to die, he actually took his blood. He took his blood and he just wrote Credo, you know, on the ground. Sort of his last gasp is this profession in the faith that he was defending. So, my dear Philip, I mean, the bottom line is that, that what we believe determines our relationship with God. And our relationship with God determines whether we get to heaven or we do not get to heaven. And so we have to have a proper understanding of God, a proper belief of God to make it to heaven. And while, as I say, this is the truth of things, this idea is contrary to the atmosphere of religious indifferentism that we live in today, where people are just like, you know, you meet people on the plane, priests meet people on the plane. How many times have I heard, you know, they're like, oh, you know, I'm a Protestant, but it's all the same, right? You know, it's all the same. Well, no, it's not all the same. I mean, just think about the most blessed sacrament. I mean, it's either God or it's not God. And if it's God, and our Lord has told us, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you should not have life in you, then that's really important. And if it's not God, then I'm worshiping something that's just a piece of bread. That's totally false. This is not something trivial, and it's the same with the Trinity. So it's the world at large has this idea of religious indifferentism, but this idea has also invaded the church with the Second Vatican Council. It's one of the teachings that was kind of rejected by the Second Vatican Council, that they're outside the church, there is no salvation. You'll find in various statements in the Second Vatican Council that basically say that there is salvation in other religions. And if there's salvation in other religions, then you're just like, well, what's the point? It is like choosing toothpaste. You can choose any one of other religions, and they all have the same effect. Ultimately, they all get you to heaven. Just consider the difference between what was said before Vatican II versus Vatican II. Pope Leo XIII, he says, Christ, speaking of the mystical edifice, mentions only one church, which he calls his own. I will build my church. Any other church except this one, since it has not been founded by Christ, cannot be the true church. Then Pope Pius XI said, Catholics cannot approve that false opinion which considers all religions to be more or less good and praiseworthy, since they all in different ways manifest, signify that sense which is inborn in us all, and by which we are all led to God. As they say, Vatican II teaches something different from this constant teaching of the Church. There's one of the documents of Vatican II is called Unitatis Redintegratio. In paragraph 3 of this document, and this is, I'm just going to give you one quote. We can't preach all day long, so I'll give you one quote of many that can be cited from Vatican II. It says, the separated churches and communities as such, though we believe them to be deficient in some respects, have by no means been deprived of significance and importance in the mystery of salvation. For the Spirit of Christ has not refrained from using them as means of salvation, which derive their efficacy from the very fullness of grace and truth entrusted to the Church. The problem with this statement is that these non-Catholic religions have become separated from the Catholic Church precisely by rejecting some of her teachings. So there's these teachings that have been communicated to the world by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And there have been certain people who have arisen over time, many of them Catholics, who have said, I'm going to reject some of these teachings. I'm going to go off and found my own religion. When you reject one of the teachings of Christ, you separate yourself from Christ. It's just the way that it is. Remember these words of the Athanasian Creed. Whoever wills to be in the state of salvation, before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith, which except everyone shall have kept whole and undefiled, without doubt, he will perish eternally. because of this spirit of religious indifferentism that has invaded the church with the Second Vatican Council, there's a lot of Catholics, even like card-carrying Catholics, professing Catholics, who do not believe all the teachings of the church. It's almost like there's this atmosphere in the sort of world that considers it optional to believe everything, that somehow you can actually choose what you want to believe, especially on moral questions like contraception, you know. So when we look at the statistics are very, very bad. We like how many Catholics actually believe in the real presence, for instance. I mean, this is one of the most basic teachings of our faith, the heart of our faith, the real presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. It's actually less than 50%. Fewer than 50% of Catholics believe in the real presence today. Like, how is this possible? But it's really alarming when you consider that you have to believe everything. It's all or nothing when it comes to the Catholic faith. How many Catholics keep the Catholic faith whole and undefiled, as is required and is professed in the Athanasian Creed? And I mean, I think, surely, isn't this one of the things that motivates us to be traditional Catholics? We have the desire to believe the whole truth. We know that it's only the whole truth that's going to get me to heaven. And that in the traditional Catholic world, there is this concept that outside the church, there is no salvation. And that if I want to get to heaven, I have to profess everything. I don't have a choice to what beliefs I want to believe or which beliefs I don't want to believe. I mean, one of the reasons that the Novus Ordo Catholics have difficulty holding on to all the truths of the faith is partly because of the Novus Ordo Mass. It's a deficient liturgy. It's not a liturgy that properly expresses the theology of the Mass, the fact that it's a sacrifice, the theology of the priesthood, the fact that the priest is a consecrated minister who alone can confect the Eucharist, and it doesn't show proper respect to the Blessed Sacrament. That's why less than half of the people believe it. But if you're not treating our Lord as God, then it's hard to believe in your mind that he's God. So my dear faithful, St. Paul speaks of us holding the treasure of our faith in fragile vessels. So we humans are very weak. We know that all throughout the ages, the heresy has always been a temptation. And that we have to be careful to preserve our faith. We have to take the means necessary to preserve our faith so that we will profess all of the truths of the faith until the day that we die. And really, living our traditional Catholic life is the best way of doing that. It's the best way that we have, that we always have, for preserving our faith. So we're getting ready to recite our Nicene Creed. We believe every article of that creed. Thanks be to God. Let us hold on to that profession of faith. Let us not lose that. We want to preserve that belief, as I say, until the day that we die. These truths were communicated by our Lord to the apostles, and they've been communicated down the ages until the present day. These are the truths that we profess, want to hold on to. These are the truths that actually orient us towards the true God and get us to heaven, get us this relationship with God that we hope to continue for all eternity. So let us hold on to them so that we can make it to heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.